We need to call this meeting to order again and proceed because we've got a very full agenda this afternoon. Welcome back from lunch. We've reached item number 6, 2012 to 2014 moose, bighorn sheep, and mountain goat seasons and permit quotas. This is a roll briefing and a public hearing with Donnie Martorello. You're alone. Okay, good.
I'm alone.
You do well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, members of the Commission. My name is Donnie Martorello. I'm the carnivore section manager for Washburn Fish and Wildlife. And agenda item number 6, WAC 232-28273. This is moose, bighorn sheep, and mountain goat seasons and permit quotas. Some of this, obviously, I think you've seen before, but I'll quickly go through it and give you a refresher on this. For these three species, we manage these for a high-quality hunt. We're looking to, it's a by permit only. It's limited to once-in-a-lifetime harvest, and so we're managing for a quality hunt with high success rates. For moose, we do annual surveys. We rotate through the moose range and do annual surveys from the air. We manage for a sustainable harvest. Most of the harvest, about 90%, is mature bulls. We have a little more aggressive harvest around Spokane, or we have, of course, moose that get down into the lowlands and in around Spokane, a public safety issue there. And right now we have a stable moose population that's slowly and constantly expanding to the west. A couple of the items that we monitor that are in our game management plan is the bull to 100 cows, number of bulls per 100 cows, that ratio, and what you see here on the screen, this flat line in red is the threshold that we have in the game management plan, and another parameter that we measure is calves per 100 cows, and this is the threshold in the game management plan. And so both of those, I think, are good news. We're hovering right around what our threshold is in the game management plan, and so tend to suggest we have healthy, stable, strong moose populations. I mentioned before that we manage for a quality hunt with a fairly high success rate. This is a pretty typical cross-section of what our hunters take. Even though many of the hunts are any moose, majority of the animals harvested are mature bulls. Another item that we measure is the spread of the antlers. Again, trying to maintain the mature bull segment of the population and the age of the animals. So in the blue here, this is the mean spread. It tends to be between 35 and 40 inches. And then the mean age here in the green line with this axis between 4 and 6, 7 years old. So all generally pointing in a positive direction. Don't have much for you in terms of recommendation. Most of the areas are for status quo. I've broken this up the way it's presented in the pamphlet in terms of the recommendation. Some minor permit adjustments. I know this may be difficult to see, but for example, in the Kettle Range East Okanagan, just based on our survey data, going from permits from 8 to 10, another minor adjustment here. One of the adjustments you'll see throughout is the Mount Spokane area, GMU 124. We're breaking that into two areas, identifying one as just essentially cutting the GMU in half, and one of them calling it Moose Area 1 and one of Moose Area 2, and generally trying to maintain fairly high harvest in that area, primarily for antlerless animals for the public safety risks. These are the antlerless only hunts. Same recommendation here, identifying the Moose Area 1 and Moose Area 2 for splitting GMU 124 in half. And the purpose of that is to make sure that there's a harvest in both portions of the GMU, not focused in one area. Another minor permit adjustment, adding a disabled antlerless only hunt in Moose Area 2. So those are our recommendations for moose.
Moving. Commissioner Duvia has a question.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Donnie, quick question. On our any moose permits, what percent of those are bulls that are taken?
I don't have the figure, the exact figure, but I believe it's in the range of about 90% of the animals are bulls.
I think it's probably that.
Yeah, it's really high.
The other factor, I guess the question that we're going to be facing is we give out more permits or do we save them for the wolves? I know of at least six moose kills in the last 60 days in that northeast corner.
Hear your comment. It's one of the things that we're wanting to do, and we've already got the wheel spinning on, is increasing our sampling effort to try to understand exactly that. And so right now we're putting a plan together to essentially develop a sightability model for moose and expand our survey effort geographically and intensity, so that if there are changes in the moose population as wolves become more secure and more secure on the landscape, that we can detect that. So we're trying to get in front of that curve a little bit.
Director Anderson, you have a question?
Go to slide 3, I believe it was. So I'm having a little trouble seeing it, but I think I see that the bulls for 100 cows, the target is 60, and we're at 50 or so. Is that right? Is that what I'm seeing?
That's correct. We're slightly below in the last couple of years, but probably not enough to really suggest a major decrease in the amount of opportunity out there.
And then follow up to somewhat similar in the calves per 100 cows. It's dropped below the line that we have there as a management objective as well. And I think you characterized this, I think you said something about being good news.
I'm trying to
figure out what, when I look at this since 2002 to 2010, how you come to the conclusion that's good news.
Probably not a great term for me to use, good news. Let me frame it a little different way. We would expect that this is being, real data, that it bounces around with variability and stuff, just like the variability we can see in this curve. And as long as we are hovering around that threshold, I think that don't have a reason to make any reductions in our harvest opportunity. It's when we start to see accumulation of 3 or more years below objective, at a certain level below objective, maybe, we've talked before about the 25 or 20% below objective for 3 or more years. Do we really start looking into it a little bit closer and saying, okay, is this real? And maybe what's causing this? And then start maybe reducing permit levels to see if we can get the response. So if we were to see that continue to drop and a real pattern or trend start to develop, then you would see us come forward with a recommendation to see if we can get a response by reducing take.
Just one more.
Okay. We've got several other people. Did you need
just
a follow-up?
Just one more follow-up. Okay. I understand what you're saying, but when I look at the bulls for 100 cows, I look at the last 3 years, I don't see anything that would suggest there's a variation up and down. I see nothing but down. So I just would have a concern about that.
Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, was going to refer back to slide 3. And you sort of touched on it in your response to Commissioner Duvia, but, with wolves moving into it, it seems like I appreciate the public safety reduction aspects of that you proposed. But in the other areas, it almost seems like we should be remaining stable or maybe even reducing harvest. So we're, in a sense, and this isn't the right word, but these are long-lives individuals banking or building up a little bit of a buffer. So, in fact, if wolves start targeting them, we've already got more individuals on the landscape to help absorb that impact while we learn enough to be able to respond in an effective manner. This is a point of concern.
You bet.
Okay. Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, my question is similar.
As the director pointed out, there seems to be a decreasing line here for several years, and that decreasing line seems to some degree, correlate with the amount of wolves as they've built up in Northeast Washington. Do you see any correlation there, or do you have any information? Are the wolves really impacting, particularly on the calf line?
We don't have any data on that at all. The one thing I would throw out there to help you try to understand is that During this period of time, we have been slowly increasing harvest opportunity for moose. And so I would caution you, I understand you're reading this curve and having some concern about it. Even though this one is 3 years and this one's quite a bit above the level, that comes with after several years of increasing permit opportunity. If we were to start to see this pattern below the harvest threshold in the game management plan for 3 years and significantly below, that's when I think we start to really take a closer look and make some season adjustments, knowing that there is inherent variability in this. And it is too early to be able to make any conclusions just based on 3 years of data, but looking for something a little bit more, you know, to be able to demonstrate there's actually a decline in the population.
Madam Chair.
I think Kevin wanted to try to give us...
Just wanted to help out real quick. So this is the sex and age ratio information, and what we don't see here is the total population from our surveys, and what we would see is that the line would be stable. The other thing is in the last 3 or 4 years, we've begun to implement the sightability model, what we use on elk. Prior to that time, it was just kind of straight how many moose do you see when you're flying. And so we survey different areas every year, so some of the dots probably – they're not corresponding to the same areas 1 year to the next. So that kind of makes the slide a little bit deceptive that way.
Okay. Commissioner Jennings?
Just a follow-up. Looking at the page one of the proposed WAC changes, before next meeting, it would be nice to know which of these areas you see being sort of the, public safety reduction areas as opposed to the non-close to urban areas, so that we can look at those numbers and see if have a better sense of how that fits.
Okay, Commissioner Duvio is next.
Yeah, just a quick statement. I know the difficulty we've been having trying to get populations and counts and splits, so I totally understand that. But I think the alarm thing, as the director pointed out, is that we must start looking at trend lines more than the final dots. And I, too, look at that the last 8 years we are headed in the wrong direction. And if Larry was running his business and he saw his customers going away and his boat sales going away, he probably wouldn't wait for too many more dots before he did something. So I think the trends are more important than the actual numbers that we get.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Donnie, you'd mentioned in your earlier part of the presentation that if I heard it correctly, that the moose population is migrating westerly. Did I hear that correctly?
That's correct.
Is there any way that, not today, but in the future, we could perhaps see a trend or a map that might give us some better understanding of what's going on, perhaps, and some population expansion to show us what's going on, how they're moving? I think that would be very helpful.
Absolutely. We can do that.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Mencken.
I'm sorry. I need to add my voice to this as well, because I look at that and I see over an 8-year period more of a decline, in over 50% in that metric. Now, I'm assuming that when you show us that metric, it's an important metric. So if that was an important metric in a fish population, I think we'd be very, very concerned about it.
Understood. What I do not have on here is in the game management plan, it's a range, and I've shown the threshold for when we would institute a reduction in harvest opportunity. What we're not seeing is the upper end of it that has been why we've been coming back with more permits for the past years, that we've been exceeding the harvest threshold, which is why we come back with more opportunity. So, but I've got the message loud and clear. Mm-hmm. And can come back with some more information for you.
Right. Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Moving on to bighorn sheep. We have 1,300 populations of bighorn sheep in the state. Like moose, intensive monitoring, annual surveys for all of our bighorn sheep herds. We have our harvest thresholds in the game management plan, where we harvest from bighorn sheep herds that have a minimum of 50 bighorn sheep, And because, like moose, we're managing for a quality hunt with a high success rate, making sure there is more than 8 mature rams on the landscape, with at least 2 of those in the greater than 3/4 krill class. And depending on how many sheep there are, then about 10 to 20% of the mature ram component. So that's our thresholds in our game management plan. And for all of our bighorn sheep populations, of course, we're managing for stable bighorn sheep populations. A quick snapshot of our bighorn sheep. As I said, we do annual surveys on all of these herds. Most of these herds are stable and doing maintaining their numbers. If we recall, a year or so ago, we had a disease die-off in the M-tanum. Following that disease die-off, the year after that, the spring, we had really low lamb recruitment. This last spring, we had a good lamb recruitment, a bumper year, if you will. Now we're starting to get in our Soton herd. We've documented a different a disease die-off occurring there as well. It seems to be a much more lower level than a all sexes, all age class die-off that we saw in the M-tanum. Our recommendations for bighorn sheep are permit adjustments based on the most recent surveys, and those you can see here on the screen. Again, apologize, this is difficult to see with the lighting, but the red numbers here are being crossed out and replaced with the ones that are in black, and then a season date change here. Any questions on bighorn sheep?
Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, just one. You mentioned the disease problem in the Soton County area, and I had read something about that also from the department. I wondered if it was serious enough to impact the population, because I see that you still have permits for Soton County. Is that realistic with that disease moving in to that population?
That's a great question. Right now it's too early to tell, so we're monitoring it. So far, this disease episode is very different than the M-tanum one. We've detected just a couple mortalities in 2 different areas of the Soton herd. The herd has a large component of mature rams in it, so we're waiting and to see the full impacts of the die-off. It seems to be fairly limited, just to a few animals compared to M-tanum, which was, when it was all said and done, 100 animals were removed and 50 or so died from the disease. After disease episode, one of the things that we're very concerned about is the migration of rams. And so, like in the M-tanum, we'll actually wait until we have all the evidence that we have, and may actually increase ram take a little bit to try to offset and limit that migration of potentially infected sheep to neighboring herds. So we're very concerned about this. We've had disease episodes in the herds that are part of the Hell's Canyon complex. We haven't detected this disease in this Soton herd until now, so it's discouraging. But right now we're monitoring, and we would come back to you if we thought that there was a population impact in the Soton herd due to harvest before this fall season. We would come back in an emergency closure with those kinds of adjustments.
Thank you.
Okay. Doesn't look like there's any more questions.
Last species is mountain goats. Again, managed for a high-quality hunt with high success rates. We survey all of our hunted mountain goat areas annually. We've identified, with the conclusion of our mountain goat population study a few years ago, we've identified mountain goat management units and have limit taken each one of those to 1 to 4%. We restrict harvest when the population is declining or unknown. We only harvest areas where we know we meet a minimum of 100 goats. And once we meet that minimum of 100 goats, if the population is just barely 100, it's about a 1% harvest rate. If it's several hundred animals, it may be closer to the 4% harvest rate. Here's our recommendation for mountain goats. It's status quo with the exception of adding 2 areas, the Methow area, which is up in this area of the map. Again, this is difficult to see with the lighting. And then the South Shore of Lake Chelan, this area right here. Both of those now are over 100 goats. The one thing I wanted to bring your attention to is the Mount Baker recommendation is a 7. That's status quo. As you'll notice in the WAC from a few years back, there's language in there that gives the director authority to make permit adjustments based on goat distributions and changes through the year. This is one where we've been exercising that authority that the director has given by the commission in the WAC, to where based on the annual surveys in Mount Baker, we actually rotate the goat permits through the Mount Baker units. And we actually have identified 4 or 5 units around Mount Baker. And each year we just rotate those around. This last year, our count at Mount Baker was quite a bit lower. And we're actually may harvest fewer than 7 up Mount Baker this year. We're waiting for this summer's counts to make that determination. But we would still be under the cap that the commission has set of 7. That's our recommendation for mountain goats. If you have any questions on any of these.
Any questions on mountain goats or any other part of Donnie's presentation? Looks like you've thoroughly covered the gamut. Thanks very much. Okay, we'll open the public hearing then. Do we have anyone? We do have someone. Jim Craighead, would you come forward?
Commissioners, directors, my concern is over our weighted point system that we have for these goats, sheep. There is none. It's basically 1 for 1 year. And if you're a typical person like myself has been putting in for 15 years and still haven't drawn, I don't have much more advantage than the other person. And, you know, when you start out when you're 47 and you're now 62, you're getting limited on how many goats you're going to go get in your lifetime. And so I think we need to do something about changing this weighted point system. It should be as the deer and the elk are, that you have multipliers in there, something that's fair to everybody, and it still allows that person that has 1 year an opportunity still to get into the drawing. But the people have been putting in and supporting through the $5 and $6 permit systems for 15 years and still not any closer than what you were 15 years ago, time's running out. So I think, you know, in the interest of people are aging, and that's the thing you got to look at. People do age as they keep putting in and don't draw. So we need some help for us old duffers. That was my first thing. Second thing I had is the quotas, you know, that we do for the goat hunting. You know, they're based on 1% once you reach 100 goats. You know, there's some areas right now, as is noted on, I think it's page 12, was referenced in public comment. You know, the Natchez and the Blaze Ridge and the bumping goat units, you know, we've got goats dying there and not even getting harvest. And I'm not too sure that the 1% at 100 is really our best interest. It might be 2 goats. And typically a goat hunter likes to have a partner. And so 2 is a really good number. And that the goats are there to support that. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes the public input on that item. The hearing is closed.